The first time I learned that my genetic condition had a name was when I was at a medical exam when I was applying to law school. My doctor was completing a required form for me, and on the final line, he wrote something unrecognizable. Ectrodactyly. "What's that?" I asked, staring at the piece of paper, confused. To me, the word sounded more like a type of dinosaur, and when he explained it, it was simply a medical term rooted in Greek that meant missing digits. I felt a surge of disappointment. Telling me I was limb different wasn't exactly news, and I was on my own on this adventure since neither my parents, brothers, nor any relative shared my condition. When I was growing up and other kids constantly asked why I looked so different, I'd explain that I was born this way, and my mom had eaten some spoiled fish while pregnant with me. It was as good as any guess, so I stuck to it for years. Growing up, I'd never met anyone who looked like me. Not in person, not on television, not even in my wildest dreams. Well, maybe once. The closest I'd ever come was on one hot summer evening at a county fair in central Illinois. Among the carnival rides and games, there was also a freak show with people on display. It included a pair of conjoined twins, a bearded lady, and a middle-aged man with missing fingers and toes. I stared at him in horror, and in response, he stared back at me. But before he looked away, he offered a nod with a strange expression, as if to say, "You're like me." What would have been more useful, however, was if my doctor could have let me in on the news that my condition was not only genetic, but also autosomal dominant. That meant I had a 50% chance of passing ectrodactyly on to my children. Now that would have mattered. For much of my youth and into my 20s, I chose to remain in denial, believing that my genetic mishap would start and end with me. Why? My greatest fear was passing it along to my offspring. They would blame me, and I would blame myself. When I shared that with my now husband, John, before we got engaged, he poo-pooed me. "Geez, Meg, what are you so afraid of? You came out great, and even if our kids inherit it, they will follow your lead." I have my own mom and dad to thank for that. Their unconditional support has shaped the confident person and unwavering parent I've become. Although I was born in the United States, much of my childhood was spent in 5 countries across the Middle East and South Asia. There, my ability to be resilient was constantly tested. When we moved to Iran, beggars on the street would run for the hills, worried they might catch my condition or my family's presumed curse. When I lived in Cairo, Egypt, and Islamabad, Pakistan, people would pass me on the street and let out loud murmurs of pity. In Kabul, Afghanistan, my own nanny was afraid of me. But there were upsides to my experiences abroad. In Israel, we lived in an apartment, and our landlady was named Regina. She had moved from Wisconsin to Jerusalem with her best friend named Golda Meir, who later became the prime minister. One day, Golda was visiting Regina and saw me playing outside. She stopped before entering the building, stared at my small, disfigured hands for a moment, and then whispered in my ear, "You are enough."